You're an amazing young man. There was something that happened. You were drumming. There was a point in the song that you were drumming just before. And as you drummed and drummed, did anybody hear those drums? That they were so loud? Yeah, it almost felt like the drum sound was taken away from all the other instruments. And, you know, at that moment, at that moment, God was just saying to me to say to you, son, you know, it's that breaker anointing that's on you when you play those drums. And the Lord says that, son, it's that time now. He's going to take you in that season of such intimacy that there's been a yearning in your heart. And sometimes you kind of battle and think, oh God, you know, I want this, but I don't know how to get there. But the Lord says, son, I hear your heart. And when you play those drums, you're going to see what God is going to begin to do. He's going to see such a breaker anointing. And as you played those drums, I just felt and I could see in the spiritual realm that God was just breaking things off people. And the Lord says, son, continue. Because those drums are going to break up stuff for people. And they're going to break off chains of people. And they're going to do amazing breakthroughs in people's lives. So do not underestimate that you're behind those drums and you're just drumming away. You're not just drumming away. You're praying in the spirit. And that's where the Lord's going to take you, Ro. That's where he's going to take you. Father, we just pray for Ro. We ask that you bless him now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Marie, where's Marie? Marie, stand up, Marie. The Lord just said to me, daughter, you have such a heart. And he says, when you get into that closet, nobody knows your heart, but he does. And the Lord says, I see your heart, daughter. And he says, you're going through that season right now, but the Lord says, you will overcome. And he says, because I've given you a spirit of an overcomer, says the Lord, and you will overcome. But the Lord says, keep pressing. Keep pressing. I just felt the Lord wants to encourage you to press in. And press in, because there are things in you that have been locked. There are things in you that you knew that God spoke to you, but there was a season of where you detoured and you went, you know, and God, you know, you just sort of went away. But God says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because it's in the detouring that God begins to do things in the background. Yeah, it's in the detour that he does things in the background with your life. And the Lord says, but God, daughter, you've come back. And amazing things and all those things that you had in your life, God is going to begin to outwork in your life. Every dream, every wish that you had, every gift that you have for the kingdom, you will see God outwork it in your life. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Wow. With everything going on, toilet paper, shelves. I just couldn't understand why toilet paper. Because the coronavirus, COVID-19, has got nothing to do with diarrhea. Have you ever wondered? That was not one of the symptoms. I'm like, has this world gone mad? Have they not got it? Why toilet paper? It's really funny, you know. But you know, in everything, I want to encourage you today. Church, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. What are we being fearful of? We went to the supermarket, not because we wanted to stock up, but because we needed groceries, right? I want to make that quite clear, okay? We needed groceries. So we went to the supermarket and we went to buy milk. And guess what? No milk on the shelves. Soy milk, every other milk that nobody else wants to drink. Said, God, where's the full cream and where's all the other bits, you know? Light, gone. But I want to encourage you this morning. Church, God has got our backs covered. What are we fearful of? Guess what? If we get quarantined for 14 days, are we going to use 100 toilet rolls? Really? It's just 14 days. You know what? If you didn't have food, you're not going to die. You will just lose some weight and look great after the 14 days. So if you're trying to lose weight, you know, don't pray to be quarantined, though. I want to encourage you. Hey, listen, do you know what we are doing? We take communion every day and we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Every day. Pastor Ravi gets up in the morning and he does communion for both of us. If my mom and dad are there, he does communion for four of us. And as we go out the door, we all take our communion and we go. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. You have no fear. Do not be like the world. We are different. God wants us to be different. Amen. So we need to speak the word of God into our lives. Apply the blood of Jesus. Because how many know that the blood has got power? Yeah. To protect us. You know, so we just need to do that. So take your communion, plead the blood of Jesus, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, ask God to, you know, just cover you, surround you with his blood and his angels to protect you. That's all you need to do. Simple. Okay, can we do that? Yeah? And no COVID-19 virus is going to touch us in the name of Jesus. My message today is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And when I look at, you know, it's quite fascinating watching how the world reacts when there's a famous singer. Anybody saw a concert on TV or Michael Jackson, you know? Don't know where he is right now. But but you know, so, somebody like that, you know, and there's a concert and everyone's, you know, everyone's, you know, cheering on. And it's fascinating when you watch the people. Have you watched what they do? Some are screaming, some are crying, some are fainting. And I think for a man who's singing a song, you know, but it's almost like they are worshiping this idol, this person. But from the creation of earth, God created us to be worshippers. Is that right? We're called to be worshippers. And when we look through the Bible and we see what's been happening in the Bible, we see where we see God, where we see the children of God worshiping the Most High God. But we also see how people have been engaged in pagan worship and idolatry. And as I was preparing and asking the Lord, what should I be preaching? Because I'm always asking God, what is it? What's the word in season? What is it you're saying to the body of Christ? And I felt like our vision for this church is on grow. We all know that, grow, yeah? And I said, God, if that is our vision, and this is our vision for our church, how can we grow in our worship? What is it that we can do in our worship? Because we all know that this church is a worshiping church, amen? We worship God. We come before God and we honor worship and we honor the praises to our God. Amen. And when you hear the word worship, it's a term that's used all the time in church life. Yeah? Worship God. Worship him. The songs you sing, it's about worship. But have we ever taken a minute to look at that term, worship? What does that term mean? How do we define worship? This is how I would define worship. It's the activity of glorifying God in his presence with our voices and our hearts. Let me say that again. Worship is the activity of glorifying God in his presence with our voices and our hearts. And you know, in often when we look at worship in church life, we're looking at worship and we think we bring it down to singing only. Is that right? Yeah? We so often bring it down to singing. But this is only one aspect of worship. Only one aspect of worship. And that is what I want to show you today about how do you go to a different level of worship? What do you understand about worship? What it is about worship? It's not about singing. It's not about this band that stands up here and plays the instruments and all the singers that sing. It's far from that. Amen? In Psalms 100 verse 2, we're going to put that up. Okay, let's read it. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Is that it? Yeah. So this is one of the ways we worship. But I believe that true worship does something in our lives. It affects the way we live. Is that right? It's different. When we truly worship from our heart, it affects the way we live. When we worship something, we declare that that thing or that person is worthy of that worship. That is why we come. That is why you find when people go and they go to these concerts and whatever, they are looking to that person and they're worshiping that person. Because that's all they know about. They're screaming, fainting, doing whatever. Okay? But when we worship, again, we declare, God, you are worthy. God, you are everything. The Greek word used for worship implies an attitude of reverence. Let me say that again. The Greek word used for worship implies an attitude of reverence. So when we say, come and worship God, what we're doing is we're coming with an attitude of reverence. And that attitude of reverence can manifest itself in different ways or can be seen in different ways, like kneeling. And, you know, we see that in Psalms 95, verse 6. Can we just put that up, Psalms 95, verse 6, quickly? Okay. And we worship sometimes when we act as if it has value. And like I said, by nature, we are worshipers. God created us for worship. Amen? Sometimes our worship is focused on that which is actually worthy of reverence, like God. But other times, sometimes our worship can be misdirected. For instance, some people can worship their work. Some people can worship their money. Some people can worship fashion. Some people can worship politics. It's a different kind of worship. When we worship God, we do so in response to who he is. Who is he? He's not your buddy. He is the most high God, worthy of every praise and worship. He deserves it when you come before him and worship him. Our attitudes and our actions reflect that we believe the character and the conduct of God to be worthy of praise and adoration. And you know what? Worship is not only us just singing, but it's through our corporate, the teaching, our giving is a form of worship. When we give to God, we give because we're so grateful for what he has done. We don't give it because the pastor says you got to tithe. We give it because we're so, so grateful to God that we can wake up every morning and go to work and earn that money and bring it to him and give it to him and say, God, I just worship you with my offering. I thank you, God, if I had not had this, where would I be without this? And the mere fact that you can get up in the morning and go to work and have good health and earn that money is enough to be worshipful about. Because imagine those people that are sick and at home. They don't work. They don't earn money. But when you come before God and you come with that generous heart and you give everything that you have, it's your form of worship towards God. Amen? We can express our worship through our prayer every day when we're praying, through the word of God, through our acts of kindness. Things that we do for people. Little things that we do for people. Our gratitudes and our pure thoughts. What's going on in our mind? What is happening up here? Are we having thoughts that sometimes you just sort of can't believe that you actually thought that? Because it can happen. Yeah? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you know what? It's okay. But it's what you do when you get that thought. Do you entertain that thought? Or do you bring it before God and nail it to the cross? Because that's what we need to do. But it's in our worship and our thoughts. I want to quickly read from the Word of God. Let's just read from John chapter 4. Because I'm sure you must be wondering, is she going to read the Word of God? Okay, I am going to read the Word of God. I'm reading from John chapter 4, verse 21 to 24. And this is what it says. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Amen. So what's happening in John chapter 4? Everybody knows the famous story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Yep. So yes, Jesus comes to the well, sitting, and everybody knows that Samaritans and Jews disliked each other. They hated each other, right? So when Jesus was going into town, he said to his disciples, "You go ahead, go and get some lunch, because you all are hungry, okay? But I'm going to sit here and I'm going to just stay at the well." Because he knew what he was there for. He was doing the Father's will. He came to Samaritan just to see this woman at the well. That's what he came for, literally. And so, yeah, this woman comes along, and everybody knows her story. And she's not, you know, she's a woman that had many husbands. And, of course, you know, nobody wants to befriend her because everyone is afraid she might take their husband. So they're staying far away from her. But somewhere in that conversation that she's having with Jesus, Jesus suddenly talks about worship. And this is the only time you find in the Word of God that Jesus teaches about worship. And today I want to look at four words, okay? Not five, four. In spirit, in truth. And here we see God, Jesus having this conversation with the Samaritan woman, because part of the controversy at this time in history was where do they worship? And that's why she was having this conversation with Jesus and asking. Because at that time, the Jews believed that the temple in which David built in Jerusalem was the proper place to worship based on things God had said and done in the past. And the Samaritans, on the other hand, believed Mount Zerikim near Shechem was the proper place to worship based on things God had said and done in the past. And when I look at that, I think, oh, so she's having this conversation with Jesus about where we should worship. And Jesus, you know, we Samaritans, we worship in this mountain. You Jews, you worship in that temple. And it sounds very similar to what we go through in our everyday church life today. Because some churches say you need to sing a hymn. Yeah? I still love hymns because I was a Methodist, in case you didn't know. Okay? You can start a hymn and I can finish it because I can still remember. Others say we should have contemporary music. Times are changing. Let's have contemporary music. Some say we need a choir. I was coming this morning in the car and I said to Ravi, how beautiful to have a choir. And then I just remembered what I wrote in my notes. Some say, maybe we just have one singer. We won't have a band. We won't have worship singers. We'll just have one singer just leading the worship. Others say, maybe we should use instruments. Some say, maybe we'll sing a cappella. Can't do it here, but you can do it in Africa. Some say you can use an organ. Very old-fashioned. In this time, we ask ourselves, what do we wear to church? Shall we dress up business-like? Should we dress up casual? How should we dress up? What should we be doing? In some churches, or in our church, how many know we have a Pentecostal church here? You all know that? Yeah? So when somebody raises their hand, don't feel weird. When somebody kneels on the floor, don't feel weird. Okay? Because we're a Pentecostal church. We express ourselves. Okay? That's what we do. So you find we will express ourselves by raising our hands, by kneeling down, by laying prostrate. You don't often see it in churches, but a lot of times when you're in your own time, lying prostrate before God is a really beautiful form of just surrendering to God. Try it. I do it all the time. Just lay prostrate before God and bring everything. Okay? We dance, we praise, we're loud. While in other churches, you can't even sneeze. It's so quiet. So all these rules and rituals and restrictions that man has placed in worshiping God, what's the correct way of worshiping God anyway? Jesus had the answer. He had the answer. Jesus is saying here, the real issue, I'm not interested about where you need to worship. I'm not interested in which temple you need to worship in. I'm not interested in what mountain you need to worship at. All I'm interested in that you should worship in spirit and in truth. That's all you need to do. Simple. Just worship in spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? Because worshiping in spirit and in truth has to be done simultaneously. We can't worship in spirit, then remove ourselves and worship in the flesh. Or in truth, sorry. Worship in truth. When we worship in spirit and in truth. In truth. That's how we worship. You cannot separate them both. How do we worship in the spirit? You must be asking, what is this thing that Jesus was talking about? What was he saying when he was saying worship in spirit? You see, we are spiritual beings. How many know that? Yeah? We were created to be spiritual beings, but God is spiritual as well. So to worship him in spirit means that you go beyond your physical. You're not thinking about anything. You're relying totally on the spirit of God. And as believers, and for us, we worship because we know what it is to come out of darkness into light. When we were born again, we know what it is to leave that past behind and step into something new. Because we only did that because of the Spirit of the Lord. We would have never been able to become born again if the Spirit did not touch us. And if we did not have an encounter with the Spirit. Therefore, when we worship in spirit, it's because we have to ask ourselves, are we born again? Are we truly born again? Do we really know what it is to have the Spirit of the Lord living in us? Because that's what it is. It's about the Spirit. We do not worship simply by bowing our knees. But guess what we do when we're in the Spirit? We worship from the heart. Because it's a heart condition. The spirit is a heart condition. Amen? That's how we worship. And our worship is in line with the worship that is going on in heaven. So whatever we're doing on earth, the same thing is happening in heaven. And how many of you know that when you go to heaven, that's all you're going to do? How many know that? There's nonstop, 365 days, no stopping of worship. Because Revelation says that the angels, the elders, and everyone is saying, holy, holy, holy are you. That's all they're saying. That's all you're going to be doing. So don't think you're going to heaven to have a rollicking time in your little mansion. You are going there to worship God. So you better start practicing. You're not going there to live in your beautiful mansion. And how many know that mansions are prepared for us? I can't wait for my mansion, actually. How many can't wait for their mansion? Oh, I told God I don't want very big mansion because, you know, then I realized I don't have to clean the mansion. So I can ask 10 bedrooms, 10 garages. But you need to know as well, you cannot worship God in spirit if you are spiritually dead. That can never happen. We need to come alive. When you're born again, you come alive. How many know that? Yeah, you act like crazy. I love new Christians. Love them. You know what? You can tell new Christians to do anything, they do it. Because they're so on fire for God. They're passionate for God. They're amazing. They will do anything. They don't even understand, but they'll still do it. Love new Christians. Because that passion and the fire that's burning in them. You know, in 1995, like I was saying to y'all, I was brought up in a Methodist background, right? I sang hymns. Love my church. So when I went to a Pentecostal church, firstly, God had to really deal with my arrogance. because I said to Ravi, I'm never going to visit your church. As long as we're courting, I'll just come to your church when we get married. So we got married and I went to the church and walked into the church and everybody was raising their hands. And I'm like, what are they doing? Clapping their hands. And then this foreign language. I'm like, oh God, they're all crazy. So anyway, you know, I was like, I can't do this church here. I just want to look for a Methodist church. And guess what? When we got married, we moved into this new area. We saw this Methodist church. I was so excited. I thought Ravi would change his mind and come with me. But how many know you have to submit? So I did the right thing, submitted. And guess what? I went. But I realized something at that time. That as much as I was worshiping God, and as much as I knew who he was, I didn't truly know who he was. I had a religious spirit in me. It was religion that made me go to church every day and do things for God. And it's not a bad thing. But religion stops you from going beyond and receiving more. And that's what I realized. But when I came to the Pentecostal church, guess what? I became more crazier than he was. You know, they say the converted is always crazy. I was the converted and I was crazy. So yeah, I am in 1995. I'm worshiping God. I'm just, you know, I've had an encounter with Jesus and I know who God is now. And I'm worshiping God and suddenly my English turns into a foreign language. I'm baptized in the Spirit. Nobody touched me. Just like that. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when you are worshiping in the Spirit. God will come and the Spirit will just touch you and you see what will happen. Number two, when we worship in spirit, we can worship anywhere, wherever, doesn't matter where you are. Okay? When Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, there was only a particular place they could go and worship. When you look at the Old Testament, there was only a particular place that they could go into the tent of meeting and worship. And they could go into this temple and worship. That's all they could do. But when Jesus came, through his Spirit, we can worship wherever, whenever. It doesn't have to be here on a Sunday morning. You can do that 6 days a week and worship God. God is not limited. Our worship doesn't have to be limited to this church. It happens anywhere and everywhere. When you're in your car, you can worship God. When you're sitting at your office desk, you can worship God. When you're walking, when you're running, you can worship God. It doesn't have to be here because remember, worship is in the heart. Okay? You don't have to sing while you're running, Joe. You know, be out of breath, Natalie. Teach us how to do that, eh? Number three is everything. When we worship in the Spirit, everything within us is engaged. We find that when we worship with every fiber of our being. Our whole heart, our bodies come to worship God. Because God is spirit and he's everywhere. And what happens is when we come in truly in the spirit of worship, how many know that when you stand and worship God, there's no other thoughts that's in your mind? That's when you know you are really worshiping God. If you're worried about what you're going to be cooking for lunch and what you ate the night before, you're not 100% there. You need to get to that point where you are 100% there, that nothing can ever cloud your mind at that moment because you are worshiping God. Amen? That's what true worship is in the spirit. When we're worshiping, when we are truly in the spirit and worshiping God, we don't care who's around us, yeah? We lift our hands up, we do whatever we do, we're not interested. You know, sometimes, ever stood next to somebody who was singing out of tune? Oh, I used to struggle with that. Not that I can sing. But the Lord convicted me. And you know what? He's not interested about your tunes. He's just interested about your heart. Leave all that vocal tones and everything to the worship team and all the beautiful singers. He's not interested. You just sing. Don't even care about who's next to you. Just sing away. Even if it's out of tune. Because guess what? God knows your heart. He loves you. He honors that. Some people are so conscious about themselves. You know that? Oh, if I open my mouth and sing, they'll think I'm out of tune. What would they think? Do you know what? The enemy is just whispering things into your mind. You just stop him and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Do you know, late last year, we had such an amazing testimony of a young man that walked into our home. And, you know, we've been doing this for a long time that a few friends of ours, we get together and we just worship God because we love God so much. So we get together and we worship God and we just come together. Just, you know, just that freedom of worship and just, you know, nothing, just God and just us. And so I sort of came into my lounge room and saw this young man walk into my lounge room with a friend of ours that are Tongan pastors. And they brought this young man in. And I kind of had to look twice, you know. Didn't meet him before. Don't know where he is. I just hugged him, welcomed him. And, you know, he was really struggling with his identity. And I sort of, we started to worship God and really get into that time of real deep worship. And all of a sudden, this young man runs to the front, drops himself down, and starts repenting of his past. And I didn't realize that he was a minister's son. And he started crying before God and repenting of his past and what he was doing. You know, with his nails all long up in the air, hands up in the air, just worshiping God. And you know, God did an amazing thing with that young man's life. And he's been discipled for the last 6 months. And just a few weeks ago, we had him in our home again. And guess what? He's got an amazing voice, an amazing, amazing voice. And he actually did worship for us. You see, God is not interested about your past. He's interested about your future. And we sang songs that just took us into the throne room of God because of his heart condition. His heart was pure. He came before God because he knew what it is to be in the darkness and come into the light. And he knew the transformation. He went home that day, cut his nails, gave his makeup, did everything. That's what happened. No one laid hands on him. But guess what? The Spirit of the Lord did something in his life. And you know what I am praying for? I am praying that our worship will get to such a level that people will run to the front and give their hearts to Jesus. People will run and repent of their sin. And people will run and just honor God. That's my cry. That's my heart. I am praying for that day when I can see that happen. Then Jesus can take me to heaven. How do we worship in truth? We know how to worship in spirit. How do we worship in truth? What was Jesus saying? Worship me in truth. Worshiping in truth means that we worship based on the truth that is God. Can we just put up Romans 10:2, please? The truth is about who God is. And this is what Romans 10:2 says. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. It must be based when truth, when you are worshiping in truth, it's based not on knowledge, but on the word of God. That's what truth is. It includes the truth in your circumstances. It doesn't matter, because we can worship God even when we're experiencing that heartache. Even when we're experiencing the pain, we can worship God through that, because we're being truthful and we're saying, God, you know the truth that I am hurting. God, you know the truth that my heart is aching so much. God, you know I'm believing for my family. God, you know I'm believing for healing for myself and for my loved ones. But God, through this circumstance, through this truth of sickness that I know, God, that you will come through for me. Amen. And you know, and some of you know, that we have a daughter, you know, that's got a life-threatening disease at the moment. But you know what? We've learned something. Last week, we went away as a family, the six of us. And we got into worship, 3 hours of worshiping God and just worshiping and worshiping. And you know what? When you have 2 children that are in worship, you can't help yourself, right? But guess what? We just worshiped God and got into that presence. And we took that situation that we're going through and we said, God, we're giving it to you, but we're going to worship you. God, we don't care what the doctors say. God, we don't care what the reports are saying. But God, we're going to come before you and we're going to worship you. And my daughter-in-law said to me the other day, she said, you know what? She loves about the end times. She wants to study the end times. She's just got so much wisdom in the end times and the book of Revelation. And I said to her, I said, why don't you write out this whole thing? Do a teaching. We're giving you 3 months. And you know, she spoke to us the other day. She came on Friday night and she said, you know what? I really thank you all for what you all said to me, because this week I got a hold of the word of God and I started to write down and I started to prepare on Revelation because I'm so excited. And she says, you know what? The symptoms that I felt the week before, I didn't feel them this week. Amen. Oh, glory to Jesus. Amen. Because that is teaching her that doesn't matter what the doctors are saying, that she will still press in and serve God. She will still continue to hold on to those words, every prophetic word that she's received, everything that she's received from God, because God is not a liar that he should lie. We don't understand when the prophetic words come. We don't understand how it's going to happen. Because sometimes it doesn't come the straight path. Like I was talking to John. Sometimes it doesn't come the straight way. Sometimes God brings that prophetic word. There's all kinds of turns and he takes us around until it's fulfilled in your life. You have got no idea how God is going to deliver that word. But boy, he's going to deliver the word. Amen. He will deliver it. And that's what we realized. And when she said that to me, and you know, I realized that the battlefield is in the mind, right? And through the mind, and as we were praying, and you know, people praying, and I thank you, church, for upholding us in your prayer as we go through this season in our life. But you know what? This is the best time. This is the time that we feel we as a family, we're growing together. Ravi and me, we feel like we're going to another level in God. You know what? Because we're not giving up. We're believing, God, you still will come through. It doesn't matter what the circumstances, God. That is the truth, because we believe the truth. And I remember, you know, many years ago, of course, being in nursing for that many years, I had a bulging disc on my back and was really, really bad. I saw a neurologist close to having an operation. And, you know, and trust me, how many know sometimes we're known to do stupid things? Yeah, I'm known to do lots of stupid things, right? So, and everybody knows me. All my friends know that I love shoes. It's confession time. I love shoes. I love high-heeled shoes because I'm short, so I can wear high-heeled shoes. Okay? So I go to the neurologist. I got a back problem, remember? And I've got high-heeled shoes on. And he examines me and says, excuse me, what is that you're wearing? He says, you're not supposed to wear high-heeled shoes. You're back. Well, he told me not to wear it, but I didn't really listen to him. So yeah, I am worshiping God again. Let me tell you the power of worship. I'm talking out of my own experience. I would not tell you something that I haven't experienced. Yeah, I am worshiping God, and we had a meeting, and I'm worshiping God. My hands are raised up to heaven, and I'm trusting God. I'm worshiping in truth. I'm saying, God, your word says that you are my healer, God, and I'm trusting you for my healing, God. You know how debilitating this condition is, but God, I'm trusting you. And guess what? I get healed worshiping God. Let's give God a praise for that. Oh, I really want to worship God today. So I've got lots of stories to tell. Another time I'm worshiping God. I have this medical condition. And I'm worshiping God. And this is what I'm saying, church. I'm giving you these testimonies, my personal testimonies, because it works if we come in spirit and in truth. And I was healed. I have scans that say before and after. Totally healed. Because I worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. We'll quickly run through this. What are some of the hindrances that we have to worship? Why is it sometimes we struggle? Why is it sometimes we come and we're struggling to worship God? Number one is sometimes we could be struggling with soul issues. And so often the enemy knows how to keep us with our own pain and hurt. And that is why we are so passionate about people getting rid of their soul issues, because the soul issues will keep you in bondage. The soul issues will tell you you're not worthy. The soul issues will tell you, will give you a low self-esteem. The soul issues will say to you, how can you come to God? What do you think God is going to think about you? What do you think, you know, you've done this in the past. Do you think he's going to forgive you? That's what the enemy does. So that's why we need to come and get rid of those soul issues. Most times I find that people that lack a father figure in their lives, their earthly fathers, find really difficulty in worshiping their heavenly father. But that can only be healed if you truly know the love of God the Father. So when you get healed of that, you will forget about that earthly father, and you will start looking to God the Father, your heavenly Father, your Father, that you can worship God. Because what happens is sometimes when we've gone through hurts and pains, we can look at God as a judge, and we feel like we can't come to him. We're not worthy to come to him. But he's not a judge, he's your Father. He will judge when it's the right time. But he's your Father, and he loves you with every fiber of his being. Relationships. Sometimes people struggle with forgiving people and releasing people from their judgment. But I feel unforgiveness can stop you from getting into the presence of God. Unforgiveness can stop you from worshiping in spirit and in truth. You need to release people from your judgment. Don't keep anything. Doesn't matter what people have done to you. Release them. Release them. Release them. Because it will stop you from getting into the presence of God. So often, sometimes, even as married couples, and guess what? I've been through this. I know. Sometimes you have a fight with your husband or your wife, and you're coming to church, and you can't get into the presence of God. How many know that? Oh, you all don't have problems? Okay. All right. It's only me. Okay. But you find that you can't worship God. Yeah? Ever saw that? You come in, and you're like, really struggling. Because what God is saying is, go put it right. Go put it right. You left not talking to your husband and your wife. You put it right. And you come back and you find what will happen. And sometimes I find even with new believers. And the reason why new believers sometimes struggle in worship, because they're still studying the word of God. They're still knowing the scriptures. They're still beginning to understand God. And lastly, you get people that are easily distracted. I get amazed at how people can talk in church. During worship, during the sermon, I'm like, are you having a conversation about what you did last night with somebody else? I remember growing up, my mother, I tell you, she was a tyrant when it came to church. How many know when you're born in the 60s, punishment was not just emotional coaching? We didn't know about emotional coaching. But now we're talking about emotional coaching. Do you know that? No timeout. No, the new parenting style. Emotionally coach your child. Talk your child through the stuff. Don't smack. But we were like, oh, we could report our parents to DHS. So when we went to church, my mother would be like, do not ever say a word when you sit in church. And dare we be misbehave. Ever got a pinch on your thigh? Try it when you go home. Oh, it hurts. So if we said anything, she would just pinch us on the thigh. Then she would discipline us. And then she'd buy fairy frost for us afterwards because she'd feel bad. But I just find, you know, when we come to church and we're distracted, I feel like it's a dishonoring to God, honestly. I really feel that. Don't dishonor him. Come with reverence into the presence of God and honor him. You know, looking at your phone, sending text messages, answering your emails, you know, that is so disrespectful to God. I want to conclude by saying this. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. Do we believe the words when we sing? When we come before God and we sing those songs, are we believing it in our heart? And is worship all about him? Or are we just drawing attention to ourselves? You know, sometimes when we worship God, how many know you just cry? Yeah? When I first used to really understood the worship, I used to just cry. Cry, 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 cry the whole time. Now, with somebody else in the congregation that doesn't know me would think, man, she's got issues. We need to pray for her. Because that's what Christians do, right? Somebody cries, you think, oh my God, I think they're depressed. We need to pray for them. But guess what? We're crying because we are so overwhelmed. And yeah, I was crying and my makeup is undone. The mascara is going down my face. I look like I come from a horror movie when I'm finished. But guess what? I couldn't care less because the moment that I had with the Lord was amazing. I don't care about the mascara and I look like I come from a horror movie. I couldn't be bothered. But I know what it was to be in the presence of God, worshiping him. I could sense his presence. I could know him. I could feel him. I could feel him. Oh, it was every fiber of my being. That's how I worshiped him. Worshiping God, we can take on different positions of worship. Worship is not kneeling or bowing. It's just a posture of worship. Yeah, it's only a posture. So when we come and we kneel and we bow and we raise our hands and we lay prostrate before God, it's a posture of worship. It's a posture of submitting to God. That's what it is. You see, God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. Worship team, please come up. Thank you. I've often heard people say, oh, that worship wasn't very good today, was it? I didn't feel the anointing. Have you heard that? Oh, that service was really dry today. What are those people wanting? Do you know what those people are wanting? They're wanting to come to church and get cranked up. Yeah? And they want the worship team, this worship team, to crank you up, get you to the point where you can feel the presence of God. But guess what? It's not about them. Because they are preparing 6 days a week. That's what we should be doing. 6 days a week, we should be getting into the presence of God and worshiping God and coming before him. We are not here for the worship team to crank us up. And guess what happens when we come in? The moment you open your mouth, you sense the presence of God. You don't need them to crank you up to get you to the third song before you feel the presence of God. You are there. Why? Because you have prepared yourself. You have got into that presence of God. You have worshiped God. You have cried. You have laid prostrate on your floor. You have kneeled down. You have picked up your hands towards God and cried before God 6 days a week. So when you come to church, we come to church because we can worship corporately together. And as we worship together, you find God will turn up. I have been in meetings, I'm telling you, nobody needed to do anything. No pastor needed to pray. Nobody needed to pray. All we needed to do was worship Him. I've seen people get healed. I've seen people run and get delivered. I've seen people get saved just by worshiping Him. And I see a church, I see this church worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Coming before God and saying, God, I'm coming before you. God, I want this breakthrough. And I'm going to close this morning. We're going to worship God. But today, I want you to come with a different attitude today. Because today you understand what worship is. Do you understand what worship is? Yeah, every one of us. And I'm believing and I'm praying that we as a church are going to go to another level of worship. That we're going to see God do things in our worship time. We are going to see healings take place in our worship time. We're going to see people like what happened to me in 1995 when I raised my hand up to God and I worshiped God and I got baptized in the Spirit. I want to see that happen. That is my heart. That is what I want to see. I'm praying. I pray for the church. I pray. And I'm passionate about the Spirit of the Lord. I'm passionate about seeing you pray in spirit and in truth. Why don't we stand up?